Let us pray. Holy One, you enter the lives of your people and give them glimpses of your glory. For these moments of breaking into our world, we, your people, are forever changed. Enter into this moment, right here and now. Change us, fill us with your Spirit, send us on your path. We ask this and all things in the name of our companion on the road, Jesus Christ. Amen. So how do you think your life would change if you were to meet God? How do you think your life would change if you were to meet God? I don't just mean being told about the absolute proof of the existence of God. You turn on TV, proof. I don't mean that. If somebody came to us tomorrow with absolute proof of God's existence, well, I know what would change. More people would come to church. But I'm not talking about proof or evidence that someone tells you about. I'm asking, how do you think you would change if God spoke to you, if God touched your hands, if you could feel that almost tangible Spirit of God, without a doubt, moving in and through you? How would you change? It's tough because many of us are torn between two answers, between two realities that we're bound to. In one way, we'd want our lives to be changed so completely so that we might reflect the divine's will, this force that has made its way into our lives. We want to reflect that. That's one answer. But in another, more selfish way, we kind of like the way our lives are now. Sure, people are hungry and cold, but I'm feeling pretty good. Don't feel too guilty about that part of yourself, because part of us is hardwired to love routine. Because routine is safe. Routine is secure. And who cares if routine is a little boring? In our Hebrew scripture reading from earlier this morning, we hear a little bit of a story of a man who encountered God. But the story that we hear is kind of in the middle. We're jumping into the middle of a story. Here we have the man, Abram, around 100 years old, being told by God that Abram and his wife Sarai, who's 90, are going to have a child. Now, Abram responds like any of us would expect him to respond. In fact, it's probably the way that many of us would respond if we were in his shoes. Anybody remember what he does? He laughs. He laughs at God. Ha! God! So say you. But how did we get to this point? What brought us here? Is Abram the kind of guy who would normally laugh in God's face? Well, like I said, we kind of jumped into the story partway through. Abram's journey actually starts almost 30 years earlier. 30 years before this story. He's in his early 70s, married to Sarai, living in the country of his foremothers and forefathers. They're comfortable. They don't have any children, but they have each other and they have their friends. Then one day, God drops in and says, Abram, take your wife Sarai and leave everything that you know and go to a faraway land, a place that you don't know, filled with people who don't know you. People who probably won't like you very much. Now this is where our selfish side might kick in. Where Abram, like us, might be expected to say, gee, gosh, I don't know, God. Things are pretty good here. And that road, it sounds pretty hard. Maybe try somebody else. And remember, this is the guy who in 30 years will laugh in God's face, laugh at God's promise. But he doesn't question God. He doesn't wonder at what God is planning. No, he gets his things, he finds his wife, and they leave. They leave everything and everyone that they know. How many of us could do that? How many of us could, if confronted by the divine, drop our lives, no questions asked, and wander off into the unknown? I'm not sure I could, and good for you if you think that you could. But for me, there would always be questions in the back of my mind. Questions like, why or how? Even in this thing that we call ministry, this call that I have answered, there are days where I pray to God and I ask, are you sure? And other days where I'm like, now what? But even though Abram didn't ask these questions, does it mean that we're somehow broken because we want to ask? Well, no. And if we fast forward to the Abram of today's reading, we see that maybe those questions that he didn't ask in the beginning have been burning within him this whole time. Because following God into the unknown is one thing. But God promising the seemingly impossible, well, that's something else altogether. And so, when God promises a son to be born of Sarai, 90-year-old Sarai, 100-year-old Abram, Abram laughs. Abram questions, and in the end, Abram relents, and he believes God. This particular experience had such a profound effect on both Abram and Sarai that God gave them new names to go along with this new promise. And from then on, they're known as Abraham and Sarah. Now, there's more to Abraham's life, more tests, more encounters with God. But the call of God into the unknown, the dedication of this man, Abram, and his doubts. There are significant points in his life that force us to wonder how we might respond if we were in the same situation. Would we, comfortable as we are, respond as Abram did in the beginning? Would we drop everything that we have and everything that we are to follow God into the unknown? Would we have doubts and questions when God, the creator of the cosmos, the revealer of mysteries, asks us to do the impossible? Would we say yes to God? Would we laugh at God? Would we ignore God altogether? These are uncomfortable questions. We don't like answering these questions. We don't really feel like answering them now. And you know, we don't have to answer them because God isn't calling us to do anything, right? God isn't speaking to us, right? God isn't here right now, right? Am I right? No. God is here right now. God is speaking to us right now. God is calling us, has been calling us right now. And that's the problem, isn't it? God is here. And God has been among us all along. God has been speaking to us, heck, shouting to us for decades and centuries, and yet we as a people turned a deaf ear. Because you know what? This world might not be the best for all, but for some of us, it's pretty good. Like Abram and Sarai, this God has come and is calling us to a land where we are surrounded by people we don't know. God is calling us, like Abram and Sarai, to the impossible, to the unknown. But unlike Abram, unlike Sarai, we are not so eager to answer that call. We are not so eager to wander into the unknown, to leave behind what we are. We are not so eager to do the impossible. I asked very early on here, how do you think your life would change if you met God? But that's not really a fair question, is it? The more appropriate question that you should contemplate, the one that should shape your life and your path through it, is this. Since you met God, how has your life changed? Has it changed? You might think, how can I, one person, do the impossible that God is calling me to do? You might ask, how can any one person change the world the way that God wants us to? How can we do that impossible task set before us? But it took just one man and one woman saying yes to God to give birth to the faiths such as Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. It took one man saying yes to God to lead the Hebrew people from slavery into life. It took one small girl saying yes to God to bring a Savior into the world. Imagine what impossible things we can do if we say yes to God. Imagine what the world might be like if our greatest concern was the safety of our neighbor and not the safety of our routine. Let us get up as Abram and Sarai did. Let us go off to that far away, to that unknown land, to discover what God is already at work doing. Let us do the impossible in this world, with God ever by our side. Let us be changed people for having met the divine in one another. Amen. And now, with that divine spirit in our hearts and in our minds, let us have it also on our voice as we sing Voices United, number 333, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 333 in Voices United.